going on, y'all? 97.5 The Fanatic, 6 o'clock here on this Friday night as we broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Devon Givens with you until 10 on this Friday with Tyler Zuli producing the show. Really appreciate you joining us. Good to be back with you here on this Friday night as we get ready for the weekend, following Mike and Ty and Nat. Great show as always. Plenty to get into around the sports world where things have kind of quieted down with Major League Baseball. That was the focus for a lot of our time during the week. Once things became official that Major League Baseball would be returning, the NFL, of course, pretty quiet overall with what they are going to do because we know we have to wait for them to roll around a little bit sooner and get their seasons underway as we now await for the NHL and the NBA. And at 7 o'clock tonight, the NBA, they will announce their schedule for the new Orlando. We might as well call it, even though it's the regular season and resuming the regular season, it's the NBA Summer League that we are getting ready for. And at 7 o'clock, they will announce the schedule for all of the 22 teams, the 76ers included. And we will, at 7 o'clock, break things down once the schedule is released. Adam Silver, he spoke today along with Chris Paul, Michelle Roberts. And the reason why Chris Paul is speaking, because he is the president of the NBA Players Association. Michelle Roberts, as we know, she's the head of the Players Association Union. So they had an opportunity to speak on the eve of, again, or just hours before the schedule is to appear for us on television. You know they have to make this into a show with Orlando being the Summer League and being the host city, the host for the bubble. And I'm curious to see how they do it with the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm curious to see what they do with the Lakers and the Suns and what they do with the Brooklyn Nets. All of these squads, I'm curious to see. They've released a bracket of how the playoffs are going to play out, where everyone is going to be. So we have a lot to get into. I have to give my points, give my thoughts on the latest with Bubba Wallace and NASCAR. Things have changed since Wednesday when I was last here. Malcolm Jenkins speaking as a contributor. I don't want to get in trouble for saying CNN like I did a week ago when I mentioned CNN for something that we were just sharing on the show towards the end of the show. But Malcolm Jenkins is a CNN contributor. So since he is a CNN contributor, he had a chance to speak about the NFL not being essential. And that was a big part of yesterday's conversation as well. So a lot to get into. Birthdays, the 76ers signing a player, drafts. We'll get into our side topic as we go along. But with the NBA releasing the schedule at 7 o'clock Eastern, televised on ESPN, we'll bring it to you once we know what the schedule is for the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'm looking at this thing, and just to be clear as well, I don't know, I mentioned I had a sit-down with Glenn Robinson on the Sixers podcast network for Sixers.com, and Glenn Robinson and I spoke, I want to say now 2 weeks ago, Glenn Robinson and I, Glenn Robinson III and I spoke about the team, about the everything that's going on in our country with the social injustice, right, that's been out there, the police brutality, everything from George Floyd on his, what he's doing with his foundation and how he's trying to help out. He and I had a chance to speak. And with that, I also today, I had a chance to speak with someone else that will be released next week on Sixers.com and the Sixers Radio Network. And we also talked about, once again, everything that's going on within our country, the social issues, police brutality, what they are trying to do to put their foot in it now and not just be someone who is behind the scenes shaking his head saying this is not right. They're trying to be more in the forefront. And this was not a black athlete. This was a white man that you would call the head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers, Brett Brown. And that will be something that is released early next week, I believe Tuesday or Wednesday. Look out for that one, where Brett and I had a chance to speak about all of this with the NBA Coaches Association, what they are doing, trying to once again jump in on everything that's going on with the social justice and police reform, all the things that we've been talking about. The NBA's coaches are also talking about the very same things you may have heard. Lloyd Pierce, former Sixers assistant, Greg Popovich, Steve Kerr, all of these coaches, all of these voices, Stan Van Gundy, David Fizdale, Nate McMillan. There's an 11-person committee. All 30 coaches, though, are involved, and that conversation will be brought to Sixers.com and the Sixers Radio, Sixers Podcast Network early next week, and we will also have an opportunity to share a lot of that and share the entire interview, if you will, if we have time to do so, right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And I say that because at the end of our conversation, I couldn't let Brett Brown go without speaking to him about what's upcoming for them, which is the Orlando bubble, which is this now getting the NBA back on track, getting things going. We heard once again from Adam Silver, Chris Paul, Michelle Roberts. The schedule will be released tonight. And Brett and I did have a conversation as best as we could about what to expect when they do take the floor starting next week, where players are allowed to, again, get in a little bit more. Coaches are allowed to be in there as well. More coaches are allowed to get back into the building and watch these players get underway starting next week. And we discussed about him getting ready for the playoff rotation. I heard Tyrone mentioned how the rotation is now going to be shortened. Mike mentioning maybe Matisse Thybulle will miss out on that rotation because he is a young player. Can you count on him once the games actually get underway for the playoffs? Not the 8 regular season games that will be released tonight, but the playoffs, because he is a young player with a team that has championship aspirations, okay? And this is a different animal. What does it mean for Shake Milton? What does it mean for someone like Raul Neto? Because Shake Milton, the moment might be too big, and you have to go with a veteran point guard. The same with Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson III that Mike and Tyrone were mentioning, and what they could potentially get themselves into as far as the rotation goes. The big fellas, Norvell Pell, Kyle Quinn, that Mike and Ty were mentioning. What does it all mean for the Philadelphia 76ers? This is something that Brett Brown and I had a conversation about. The fact that they have had all of this time off, the Zoom meetings with the players, the same with the coaches, sitting there watching tape every single day, watching the film over and over and over again, trying to correct the wrongs that were there with the 39 and 26 Philadelphia 76ers through 65 games. I heard and read Tobias Harris speaking on an interview where he openly talked about how they weren't the team that they expected to be during the first part. They now have a new opportunity to be the team that we all thought, I'm not going to say we all thought, a majority of us thought that the Philadelphia 76ers would in fact be once they took the floor at the start of the 19-20 campaign. All right? They have been disappointing. They are the sixth seed as it stands right now, with the league restarting in Orlando July 30th inside the Walt Disney World bubble. Okay? And with that, we all know that they have underachieved as it stands right now. They have a new chance. They have a new opportunity to right the wrongs again. They have looked at everything that they have done right, and they maybe tweak some things that you have done right and still implement them, because, hey, why change something that is already working for you in a positive way? You focus more on the things that were wrong overall with this basketball team that has put them in this spot, in the sixth seed, to have us talk about them the way that we are discussing, having one of their top players in Tobias Harris share that, hey, they have underachieved and not performed the way that they expected from themselves and what they were supposed to do through those 65 games. Fantastic. 29-2, 10-24 on the road. Brett spoke about that, having to look at what they did wrong and why is it such a big gap in who they are at home and who they are on the road. All right. So I appreciated the conversation. I wish we had more time to talk about it. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to get him on the air a little bit later as things start to get closer to the start of the games in Orlando. But what I wanted to ask you guys to start off with, the 7 o'clock schedule release, all of the 8 games. Again, it's not a big deal. It's not like the 16 schedule release of the NFL season where we break down each Eagles game 1 through 16, week 1 through 17, and see where things go, see how the team ultimately plays out, who they are exactly, right? But this is different because of the restart. This is different because we have never seen anything like this. This is different because they have an opportunity to, once again, right their wrongs. So what Ty and I wanted to ask you to start things off here with the schedule release at 7 o'clock, and we'll get into the games and break things down as the schedule comes out. We know the Sixers, once again, have many teams that are on their schedule remaining that they could play inside that bubble because of the 22. They are in Orlando with the Philadelphia 76ers. And right away, we can just simply guess that we will see them play. We will see them play as I try to get the rest of the they have already adjusted it on they have already adjusted it on ESPN. But I have my schedule right here, which I'll just go into my bag and get the schedule for you and let you know who they have. But anyway, as I look at it right now, they have Indiana, Washington, Toronto, Phoenix, Portland, Houston, 6, Orlando, 7, Milwaukee, 8, San Antonio, 9, Memphis, 10, New Orleans, 11. They have 11 teams that are remaining in this bubble, 11. Now, if you wipe out, let's say, Washington, who they would be playing twice, that's now 10. Phoenix, who they will be playing once, maybe you take them off the schedule because of the fact that you might not think the Phoenix Suns are going to advance. You might not think the Washington Wizards are going to advance. The same with the San Antonio Spurs. They have a bit of a long shot in making it out west. We know who the opponent is going to be, where they're going to be. But they have an opportunity also to move up in the schedule. I mean, move up in the standings. To move up a little bit from that sixth seed and get themselves away from the Boston Celtics. Maybe match up with the Miami Heat and battle with them in the first round of the playoffs and see if they can advance past them, who they had a 3-1 win-loss record against the Boston Celtics during the regular season. You might feel confident, you might not. Once again, they get a fresh start as well. We know the opponent. We know how well they have played when they were at home. We know their record on the road. It is now a neutral site. Who knows what it's going to be? Who knows what team is going to show up for your Philadelphia 76ers. So what I wanted to ask you, Tyler, and I wanted to throw out there with you tonight, what's the number one thing that you want to see from your fresh start Philadelphia 76ers once they resume play next month in Orlando? 610-632-0975. And when I say it, I know you're going to say two things. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. I already know that because I'm with you. I have said it before that in order for them to have success in the bubble in Orlando, what they need to do is be healthy and be consistent. They need to step their games up from what we have seen during the regular season where they are named All-Stars, All defensive player for Joel Embiid, rookie of the year for Ben Simmons. Hopefully he makes the all defensive team this year. But at this point, those individual accolades, which will come with team success, and they are that good to have those accolades bestowed upon them because they are just simply really, really talented young players in the NBA. It's all about the playoffs for these players now. It really is. Because if you look at their lack of success against the Toronto Raptors and the Boston Celtics in the last two second round playoff appearances that they've had in these last two playoff seasons, that they have underperformed. One way or another, they have underperformed on the floor with where you needed those two players to be. We always say the team will go as they go. We know that is the fact. Jimmy Butler's not here to bail you out. J.J. Redick and his outside shooting, he is not here to bail you out. You would now be relying on Tobias Harris, Josh Richardson, and Al Horford and a collective group from the bench to do something that we don't know that they are capable of doing, of pushing this team forward and having them win playoff series where they are the key people and advancing to next round and the next round and the next round. So we already know it starts with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who have to be great in order for them to advance past the first round into the second and hopefully make that move, the next jump that we spoke about last playoffs, where they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and represent the East, hopefully, in the NBA Finals. We want them, if they're going to do this, we want them there for 3 months, closing things down in Orlando, inside that bubble, in the NBA Finals. It's just a fact. This is just what we want. It's what we thought at the beginning of the season. I did, for sure. Tyler did as well. So, you can talk about Simmons and Embiid, because it always circles back to those two. But what else would be number two or number three for you when it comes to the 76ers and the things that you know they had issues with that they must improve on in order for this basketball team to do what they need to do in these 8 regular season games, potentially move up in the standings to get a better seeding for the playoffs, and then ultimately advance round from round from round to get to the NBA Finals. All right, 610-632-0975. Because the number one thing for me, is in fact the man who has gained a lot of respect from Philadelphia 76er fans during this time off, during this hiatus, for what he has done speaking out about the social issues in our country, Black Lives Matter, police brutality, and simply walking with the city of Philadelphia hand in hand, arm in arm, even though it's 6 feet apart, social distancing, in a protest in the crowd as best as possible, because he has to be a big voice in this city if he's going to be a part of this team, be a part of this organization for the next couple of years, and a big part offensively for this squad. And that would be Tobias Harris. I need Tobias Harris to elevate his play to another playoff level, because last year we did not see that enough consistently in the postseason. We know Embiid and Simmons are going to give you what they are supposed to give you. We just want them to elevate it a little bit more. And now they need that second tier of teammate to step up and be, for Tobias Harris, the number two offensive option behind Joel Embiid. I need him at this stage with the restart. I need a confident Tobias Harris in Orlando giving you more than the 19.4 points per game in the 65 that he has played and started for the team before the hiatus was implemented on the season. He was very good. Sometimes he was bad. There were games where he was almost great when the team needed him to put up 25 plus, get into that 30 plus, be that number one option when the double team and the attention is on Joel Embiid, and that's where the team is going to stop them. Tobias Harris, in my opinion, outside of Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, must play at a very, very high level in order for this team to advance. We know about the money. I'm not worried about the money at this stage because we know what it is. The playoffs are a different animal. He did not give you what you wanted to see from him last playoffs. Yes, the ball was in Jimmy Butler's hands a lot. The second option on offense behind Embiid was J.J. Redick. Ben Simmons has the rock a good amount of time as well. But at the end of the day, Tobias Harris was trying to find his way within that offense. what he mentioned re-signing with the 76ers in that press conference with the rest of the new free agent and trade additions to the team this past offseason was feeling comfortable within the offense, knowing what his role is because of the commitment that the team gave him, and therefore Jimmy Butler and J.J. Redick not being here anymore. Not to say that he didn't want him here, but he wanted more touches. He wanted to know where he was supposed to fit within the 76ers' flow of the offense and what he was supposed to do. For me, once again, 19.4 is cool. All right? 19.4 is cool. But I need more than 19.4. I need more, or right around 36 to 39, hopefully 40% from behind the three-point line. I need consistency overall from Tobias Harris as the second best offensive scorer for the Philadelphia 76ers. So much so that Brett Brown, who is someone that a lot of people might call in tonight and say, that's my choice right there. That's my guy right there that I need to see more from in order for this team to advance. Brett Brown needs to be able to look at Joel Embiid and say, Joe, I'm coming to you, but do not hesitate to give the ball to Tobias Harris as well if he has to, because he is playing so well for the 76ers that it is a tough decision for the head coach to make when it comes to a in-game situation, in-quarter, end-of-half scenario where he has to coach up and he is now getting pressure from his assistants to give the ball to Tobias Harris because he is in such a role that The Rock must find your second best option and maybe even on that night, your best option on the floor as an offensive player. 610-632-0975. Hey, it might be something, it might be nothing, but this team has a lot riding on these eight games in Orlando from fans, from the organization, from the players themselves, and how we are going to look at them with what they do in this restart of the league, of the season, and where a lot of people feel. Brian Windhorst of ESPN, Tom Haberstroh of NBC Sports, all of these NBA people, Jackie McMullen of ESPN, so many NBA people are setting their sights on the Philadelphia 76ers as a team that is going to be dangerous in this bubble, in this scenario. Ben Simmons, supposedly back healthy. Joel Embiid told Sixers.com that he has been working out 6 days a week during this time off. Pardon me if many people do not believe Joel Embiid's conditioning is going to be right. You know, when I spoke to Brett Brown today, which will be released next week on Sixers.com and the Sixers Podcast Network, and we'll play it here on the station, you know Brett Brown pointed out when this team gets back, this fitness base was the first thing that he mentioned to me, the fitness base of where his players are going to be when they return. You know, I mentioned it to him. Hey, you know people are going to, when you say that, the first person they're going to think of is Joel Embiid. Well, Joel Embiid put it out there to let us know that he is in great shape via Sixers.com. We have not seen any videos. I appreciate that we have not seen any videos because we don't have to see videos. You know how I feel about Simmons' videos from last summer when he was working out at Chris Johnson's gym, going up against Pascal Siakam and all these other NBA players, and he was looking great, Devin Booker and so many others. He was fantastic. And you know, guys, when Joe Torre and I were sitting here doing the show, I'm like, Joe, I don't care about those jump shots and those videos. Tyler was here as well. We were talking about it. I don't care. All I care about is when they get back on the floor in Orlando, inside that bubble, and are still standing when we are getting ready for the NBA Finals. In order for them to do that, Embiid and Simmons have to be the all-NBA players that we know them to be consistently, but do it this time in the postseason. My question from myself and Tyler to you, what do you now need to see next from this team for them not to be exiting in the second round of this restart of the NBA season? 610-632-0975. That is Tyler Zuli. He's producing the show. I'm Devon Givens. We are with you until 10. We'll take your phone calls until then. plenty of other things to get into as well. The NBA schedule release will be at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, and we will discuss it as it is released to us all to discuss right here on the show. The numbers again, 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli producing. I'm Devon Givens with you until 10 on this Friday night here on The Fanatic.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 630, 97.5, The Fanatic, Devon Givens. Tyler Zuli's producing, 610-632-0975. The NBA is set to restart next month, July 30th. They really have started to get players back in the building, testing for the coronavirus on Tuesday for the teams. They released a statement where they have tested over 300-plus players. They have a number also that they have shared with us all that has tested positive so far. So we'll give that to you as we go along. But the NBA is back, folks. And even despite the craziness right now going on in Florida with the numbers there as well, the NBA appears to still be back. Adam Silver speaking today. The Players Association head, Michelle Roberts, the president, Chris Paul, speaking to media and sharing what's going to happen when they return to the bubble and why they decided to go out there and do it. So our question is, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And with Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid leading the way, what are you looking for next from this team to reach the level of expectation that you had for them before? Or is it something that you just simply cannot? You don't feel like you cannot see anything from them, and this is simply who they are going to be once the league restarts next month. 610-632-0975. Mine again is Tobias Harris, simply stepping up, and I need an all-star level of play through the playoffs, hopefully up into the NBA Finals or through the NBA Finals for the long-term Sixer that we think he is after signing for the years that he signed for this past offseason. 610-632-0975. The 6 o'clock hour brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Visit them on Route 17 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at Family Jewelers, South Jersey's Diamond Destination. Check them out at familyjewelers.com. 610-632-0975. And let's just say this, full disclosure, I'm just happy that it happened the way it did with the release tonight and the conversations that the media had with Silver, Chris Paul, Michelle Roberts, because I just want to talk some basketball. I do. I miss it. You miss it. People want sports back. I get it. I'm glad that they've taken the steps that they have. I was pessimistic about the league returning. I said that. I've been very clear. I still think they're, as much as they have been very detailed with putting together the plan with the 100-plus page safety and health and safety protocol, crossing all T's and dotting I's, the different scenarios that they have laid out there to put the teams back on the floor to get things going, there is still going to be something that happens that they are unprepared for. Why? Because there's still the unknown with the coronavirus that, right, we don't have anything that stops it. So with that, right, not having a cure for this right now, outside of that, something else is going to happen within. Still having Disney employees come in and out of the bubble. I don't know what they're going to do. Is it going to be the temperature checks every day? Are they going to test them every day? I don't know what they're going to do. So there's going to be something that shocks us and shocks the NBA that they may not be prepared for, because you cannot be prepared for the unknown. There's still an unknown with this bubble. Even with that, they have done a very, very good job at putting it together, trying to get things right for them to return. We know it's about money. We accept it for what it is. I don't think that the 22 teams should be there, especially if they're worried about the coronavirus. You take away six teams, and I understand the fairness of it all and giving others opportunities who are right there with their 17 to 15 games remaining on their schedule fighting for a playoff spot. I get it. This is unusual. This is not normal. This is not something that anyone prepared for. I get the fact that things are not fair. But the 16 should have been the 16, and let's just rock and roll. Now, with that, we'll see how it plays out. We'll see if they were right. We'll see if they turn out to be wrong. But that said, I am excited for basketball. I'm excited to see who the 76ers are. Have they taken a step back, look in the mirror, having all these Zoom conversations, having all of these honest conversations with each other, from coaching staff to player to front office? Here's where we went wrong. Here's where we went wrong. And I hope that they, in fact, did have these honest conversations about what they should have done, what they could have done, and we have a second chance here. The same can be said for Boston, Miami, Indiana, Toronto, all of these teams. But we are focused on them. The schedule comes out at 7. We'll talk about it. What do they need to do outside of a Simmons and Embiid? What else needs to happen in order for them to be the team you thought they were when the season started back in October? 610-632-0975. Josh, before you start things off, Chris and everyone else, Tyler, what do you think needs to happen in order for them to be what we thought they were and now show it in Orlando?
So if you don't mind, before I give you that, I'm going to tell you why I disagree with your Tobias Harris.
Please.
And the reason I disagree with your Tobias Harris is because I think that people are under the expectation that because he signed the max deal, that he is going to be a 25, 26 point scorer. When in reality, I think that he's probably option number three when the offense is running efficiently. So 19-7 for Tobias Harris, in my opinion, is good enough. You had to pay the guy to pay the guy to keep him.
That was the market.
That was the market. That's what it dictated, and you had to pay the guy to keep him. I think 19-7 is enough for me if he's going to be the third guy. So for me, it comes down to Brett Brown. And it comes down to Brett Brown, as we've talked about for the better part of 3 years now, now that they're a successful basketball team, operating rotations well, not only just operating rotations well, but having coaching matchups. It seemed like every time that the Sixers lost a series, over the better part of, I guess, the last 2 years, but it seems like even when they lose games individually, Brett Brown gets out-coached. Brett Brown got out-coached by Nick Nurse when they lost to the Raptors. Brett Brown got heavily out-coached when they lost to Brad Stevens and the Celtics 2 years ago. So I need to see Brett Brown not get out-coached. I don't need him to be Spoelstra. I don't need him to be Riley or Phil Jackson. I just need him to be better. I need his rotations to be cleaner. I need him to be a little bit more consistent, and I need him to not get out-coached. If he can play on an even surface, I think the Sixers have a really good shot.
And you're obviously talking about second-round Brett Brown, not first-round Brett Brown, because he has gotten out of those rounds in five games. He's done some very nice things within those rounds, within those games, to get to those second round. Now, I'll ask you this before we get to the phones again, 610-632-0975. You mentioned Tobias Harris not being the one that you're focused on simply because 19-7 is good enough. We're not talking again about the contract. We're talking about the player at 19-7. But if you're speaking about being a third option, then I need to know who the set second option is offensively for the 76ers in a flow of a half-court set, where Tobias Harris is now bumped down to three.
So you're talking about not running the break, not running point,
and not grabbing and going.
Okay,
yeah,
that's fair. I think that that's totally fair. And if that's the case, it might be Tobias Harris at two. But I don't even know. You talked about it in your opening segment. You don't know what we're going to get out of Ben Simmons. So if we get the same Ben Simmons that we saw in the regular season and the regular season of years past, then yes, when you get to that half-court set, Tobias Harris is going to have to be number two. Then you need more.
And I only say that when we focus on the half-court set because of the fact that we know transition happens. It's the game. There are going to be transition opportunities all the time. Right, Chris? As we get ready to get to the phones with Josh and Chris and everybody else. There are going to be transition opportunities all of the time. Shots are missed. Rebounds are made you push the rock. Simmons is one of the best at snatching a rebound, going the length of the floor, giving himself an opportunity for a bucket and or someone else. We also know in the playoffs that things do slow down. They are not the Golden State Warriors, right? They are not a team that is fluid the way they run in the half-court set like we may see from a San Antonio Spurs team of the past where Brett Brown was an assistant coach winning championships on that squad. Therefore, while I believe Simmons, again, I need him to elevate that level of play offensively. I don't know in the half-court set that he is still going to be able to do what is needed. Yes, I need to see more pick and roll where he is now the picking, the screener, and now he rolls. I need more of that because it's ultimately helping out that player, Ben Simmons, to be a better version of himself where you're taking a little bit of the pressure off him with the ball in his hands and allowing someone else to also dictate that play and finding him for a bucket. Josh Richardson. Tobias Harris. And therefore, when that works, the other things could potentially work, which is if he's the screen man, he gives you 3-4 straight buckets close to the rim or assist on a play by making a pass. The counter now is, while they're paying more attention to him, Richardson and Harris now have one-on-one opportunities where they can maybe get to the bucket or pull up for a jumper and get an easy 2 or 3 or whatever it might be and 1. And it's now working. That's why I stick with Tobias Harris as the one that I need to be someone that elevates not to 25 to 26, Ty. I need him to simply be 20, 21, 22, 23 consistently and occasionally erupt for maybe a high 20, low 30s and carries the way for the 76ers because this is something that they plan on being there around for a long time throughout these 3 months. It's a marathon, right? But you have to take it as if it's something that, hey, we got to leave it all out every night here in this new situation of basketball. 610-632-0975. Guys, again, my apologies. We'll get to you when we get back to give you all your time. I wanted to get Tyler's thoughts on this, but Josh and Chris and everyone else thereafter, we got you when we get back. 610-632-0975. Where do the Sixers need to improve from the things that may not have worked the way you wanted them to through the 65 games in order for them now to advance like we want them to in the postseason? The numbers again, 610-632-0975. Tyler Zuli, Devon Givens here on the Fanatic until 10.
Give me that phone. Devon Givens on 97.5, the Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
646, 97.5, the Fanatic on this Friday night. The NBA scheduled to be released in now 13 minutes. And we will see what the 76ers' 8-game schedule looks like. Have not seen any leaks as of yet. So let's find out when things get underway at 7 o'clock where we are. 610-632-0975. Let's start things off on the phones as promised with Josh and Manny Young, who tips things off tonight for us here on the Fanatic. Josh, what's up, man?
Devon, great show as always. Yeah, I'm excited about basketball getting back. I don't know how excited I am about seeing the Sixers. I think they got 13 games left in their season.
You think they're going to go out in 5, huh?
Yeah, 5 or 6. You know, actually, I set a bet with a buddy of mine, Tyler, that I'll say six games. I just don't see it, man. I think this team's been the most dysfunctional team. Most of all the teams I've watched growing up, I love them. With all the hype and everything else, it's been a dumpster fire the entire time. And the person I would love to see something most out of to shock me is Ben Simmons. And when we get to that half court game, let's not forget this. They've been talking, oh, we're a half court team. We got, well, You can't be a half-court team if you don't have five guys that aren't afraid to shoot the ball, you know? So I think, I hope they shock me. I really do. I'll be happy to eat all my words and say I was wrong. You know, if they make a run like Charles Barkley and some of the other guys are saying they can.
Yeah, many people do. Right, Josh?
Yeah. So I'd be love it, man. But I got to be honest with you, Devon, this team has to come out and do something, you know? And I think matchups are going to be key. And Brett Brown, I agree with Tyler. He's got coaches derriere off.
Okay, so would you say that's the one outside of Simmons and Embiid that you really have your focus on?
Yes, absolutely. I think your role guys, like, see what Mike Scott's got. Dare I say, Furkan. You need shooters, man, because I don't think anyone's going to be lighted up real heavy, but it's those guys that can actually knock down an open shot late in the game. And golly, we saw the Last Dance, and Steve Kerr was key. And other guys are key that made those key shots in key moments. And I don't know if we have that, but if we can find that, man, this team I'll be stunned. So that's what I would think. But matchups and matchups are going to be key down the stretch.
No, I 100%. Listen, I'm not ignoring the fact that Brett Brown has to be good, that we pointed out, and Tyler started it off, that he has to be better in the second rounds. And even in the first round against the Boston Celtics, this is not a cupcake thing here because, number one, you're not a three seed anymore like you have been the last two playoffs. You are now the sixth seed. So you are now the underdog, even though you beat them 3-1. It's different. And when we talk about what they've done in the second round, part of that is Brad Stevens. And Brad Stevens will now be opposite him in that first round. And if you think that Brad Stevens can outcoach him in the second round, he can certainly do so in the first round as well. So he has to be better. I agree with you 100%.
Let me ask a quick question. I don't know if you know this, but have they decided to extend the rosters a little bit because of the
yes.
COVID? Because okay, they have.
Yeah, they actually made a signing today, and we'll give you that right now. Ryan Brokoff from the Dallas Mavericks, formerly of the Dallas Mavericks, he has signed on with the Philadelphia 76ers for the stretch run here for the team as they are now in the bubble. And what he did during the season, Josh, where he played, he actually had a game against the 76ers a little bit earlier in the season where he went off in a stretch where I believe he had like three threes, four threes, and he just put the Sixers in a tough spot. And we were like, man, he just lit the team up real quick here. And yeah, so he is someone that they brought in, Australian player. He has season averages per 36 of 14.2 points per game. He can shoot. He can definitely shoot, man. And he shot 40% from distance in the NBA. So that's why they went out there and got him, Josh, because he's a shooter. You know they need shooting to stretch the floor. Thanks so much, man, for the call to start things off tonight. They added a shooter. It's not a household name, not someone that people have really had on their radar, but he is someone that can shoot the basketball, period. Yep. He made at least, of the rookies that made at least 53 pointers in 18-19, Ryan Brokoff was one of the most accurate. 40.3% for the Dallas Mavericks. On that list of the 18-19 rookies, Duncan Robinson, not a lot of playing time with the Heat at the time. Shake Milton didn't play much for the Sixers, but a little. Landry Shamet, 41% his rookie year, 18-19. Colin Sexton, who not known to be a shooter, but shot decently for the Cavs his rookie year. Surprised a lot of people with his outside shooting. So as I look at Paul Hudrick of NBC Sports Philly, 144 of his 185 career NBA shot attempts are threes. This season, 51 of 59 attempts were threes. And again, over 40% the last two seasons for your newest 76er, who they have added as a substitute player because of the new... the adjustments that they've had to make to the rosters because of the potential injuries, coronavirus, etc., players not wanting to come because of the pandemic and not wanting to join. So they've opened up the rosters to allow more players on the squad. We know they have the two-way player in Mario Šajak, and I'm guessing Chris Kumaje might be one, both, you know, getting some awards in the G League this year. So we'll see. We'll see. But Ryan Brokoff is the newest 76ers player, and he can shoot the basketball.
Absolutely. Nothing wrong with adding some shooting depth.
No.
If you can't play, you can't play, but you take a shot at somebody that can shoot a little bit.
When we talk about Jamal Crawford and J.R. Smith, not only were we talking about them because of the ability specifically for Crawford to put the ball on the floor, but it's because of the outside shooting from the two veterans and Smith and Crawford. This guy can shoot the rock as well. 610-632-0975. Chris and Art Moore, how you doing, man?
Hey, Ron, how you doing, bro?
Good, man.
Real quick on Tobias, I like your thought there. I don't think I agree that he needs to inch his scoring up a little bit, but to your second point, I just think he needs to get better with his percentage. I mean, he needs to, you know, be a little bit more effective out there. If he is the second scorer, if he's the third scorer, I just wanted to increase that percentage from three. So that's first of all. But
yeah, and I mentioned he shot 36%. Yeah. I said I needed closer to 39-40 consistently in the playoffs.
You did say that. Yeah, I was picking up on your second point. And then what you were saying in terms of having the team conversations around what will we do over. My thing is Horford, like, tell me if I'm wrong here, but doesn't he need a role? And they need to figure that out? And doesn't he need to step up?
Oh, 100%. 100%, Chris. He definitely needs. I wonder at this point, and I think we have done this already, Chris, through the 65 games, who is it more on? Is it more on Horford or someone else? Because when you go someone else, the only two that you really go is Simmons and Brown. That's where you go with the someone else. So is it Horford or Simmons / Brown as to why it didn't work out the way we all expected it to?
Agreed. I would probably go Brown in that scenario. But all that said, you know, since you're close to the source, they're having this discussion. I hope they're having heart-to-heart discussion saying, hey, how are we going to hear Al? Do you have any thought there?
Yeah, and again, speaking with Brown, and you'll hear the whole conversation next week, Chris, he pointed out that they did have those open conversations, having those discussions of what did not work, and he also pointed out that he felt as if they have figured out what the issue is. Will it translate to the floor? We don't know, because there will be someone opposite them trying to stop whatever it is that they figured out. But he did mention that they have done their homework. They have done it tirelessly. And they've also, they think, at least put a finger on what the issue was.
Always good chopping up with you, Vaughn. Take
Chris,
care, buddy.
Have a good weekend, man. Thank you. 610-632-0975. Yes, Brown did mention that he feels like he has a good idea, he and staff and the players, of what they need to do going forward. It's not just one thing, right? It is not just one thing. It's a variety of things with this thing here with the 76ers. 610-632-0975. All right, we're going to break, get out of here so we can get back once the NBA schedule release show starts at 7 p.m. 610-632-0975. We'll break down as it comes out what happens with the 76ers in their 8 games in the bubble. 610-632-0975. We'll get to the phone calls when we return right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.